Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. I heard a little rumor there might be a small contest going on this afternoon, a little southeast of here at this place called Arrowhead Stadium. And from the looks of some of the red here in our congregation, perhaps you all had that, heard that rumor too, huh? We certainly wish our home team well and hope that each of you have a safe and fun time either watching the game today or attending the game today. We thank you for your presence this morning in the Lord's house and for your attention to our coronavirus modifications during our time of worship. We all hope and pray for the day that we can resume our longstanding worship traditions. Please note that we continue to provide a food pantry to those in need of food within our community, so your support for this very important ministry is always appreciated. And also, we continue to upload an audio recording of our worship service to our website every Sunday afternoon. We try to get that posted by 3 or 4 p.m. so you can access these sermons and previous weeks as well through our BerryChristianChurch.com website, then click on the Sermons tab. So welcome again, folks, and let's welcome Andrew as he leads our call to worship. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. We will praise you, Lord, with all our hearts.
We will tell of all the wonderful things you have done.
We will sing with joy because of you. We will sing praise to you, Almighty God. Let us sing our opening hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. We'll sing all stanzas.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise to thee an altar, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander how I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Eternal God, we lift the needs of ourselves, our congregation, our country, and our world into your capable and compassionate hands. We acknowledge you as the creator of all things, and we give you thanks for all you provide. Loving God, you have assured us of the power of prayer, and we have seen the power of prayer in our own lives. It is our prayer now that we feel the living presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through your profound gift of the Holy Spirit among us. O Lord, as we begin our worship together this morning, we seek that internal presence of our loving God. It is in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Amen. please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you before taking your seats.
Good morning, everyone. It certainly is a joy to see you in the Lord's house this Sunday morning as we're privileged to worship God once again. A number of people for us to continue to remember in prayer through this new week. Michelle Ekritz's baby Zoe certainly continues to be in our prayers as she has been reliant upon one type of life support or another ever since her birth in December. She continues to be a patient at Children's Mercy Hospital, and for all the Ekritz family, we certainly are mindful of their concerns as we remember them in prayer and commit Zoe's presence to the Lord. We want to lift up that Dottie Olson has been at North Kansas City Hospital. She went in with pneumonia and also the coronavirus, but tomorrow she is going to be having a pacemaker installed to benefit her heart. It's not known for certain whether all of that is related or not, but again, we certainly hope this leads toward good recovery for Dottie. Talking to her on the phone, she's been in good spirits and not been terribly affected by the virus, and that's certainly good news. Mike, we're going to be lifting you up in prayer as you are looking to have that knee repair surgery on the 28th of January. Bless you. Glad you're here and grateful that your daughter-in-law, Melissa, is making good progress beyond the virus. We want to lift up Dennis Davidson. He was at North Kansas City Hospital the first part of last week. Chest pain, they put a stent in the coronary artery, which is a very critical aspect of the arteries of the heart, and so grateful that that was able to be taken care of. He was able to return home later in the week, last week, but again, we keep Dennis and Debbie Davidson in our prayers. Wren Aller is making good progress with his hip replacement surgery recovery. We also want to continue to keep them in prayer as Wren and Katie are anticipating the birth of their second child around the middle of February. We praise God that John Frenthrop is making really good progress with his new kidney, and that, you know, certainly pain in the midst of healing, but a good solid recovery and a good hopeful future ahead. We're so grateful for that. Grace Kimberling has been at North Kansas City Hospital. We keep her in prayer in the midst of these multiple falls that she keeps experiencing. Regarding the coronavirus, our newest people, not only Dottie Olson, but Joyce Osborne, Dolly Llewellyn, Ron and Sharon Gallup, and have all been dealing with the virus here more recently. We lift up also Michael Wall and a number of our people that we know are continuing their recovery from the virus. Also, John, we're going to be keeping you in prayer as you undergo these radiation treatments for that lung cancer here in Kansas City, so you're not having to go travel anywhere. We're grateful for that and hope all progresses well for you, John and Mary Jane. Bless you both. Cindy Sexton's stepmother, Carolyn's in our prayers. Carol Studebaker's mother, Anna Lou Spencer, down in Alabama, continues to be in our prayers, as well as Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat. We lift up Catherine O'Neill's daughter, Susan, Michelle Jacobo, and certainly a number of other people we've been mindful of in these weeks past. With all these people upon our hearts, and certainly our nation as well, we offer our prayers before God this morning. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, as we offer praises to your holy name, we are certain that it is among our greatest privileges to peacefully assemble and worship you as our conscious and spiritual instruction calls us to do so, and to know we can repeatedly do so in this nation without fear of reprisal. As congressmen and women in our states and nation have or will be taking oaths of office, and as a newly elected president of these United States will do so on Wednesday, we realize that we've appreciated a peaceful transition of power and responsibility for the 232 years since the ratification of our Constitution on the 21st of June in 1788. Yet the actions of a few among us on the 6th of January in this year of our Lord, 2021, have put that peaceful transition to the test. As people of faith, we are called to prayer, that our nation may confess our sins before you, even as we mourn the senseless deaths of citizens among us at the hands of fellow citizens. As people of faith, we are guided not by radio talk shows and Twitter feeds. Instead, our civic duties are guided by Scripture. As Titus, the Gentile convert to Christianity and fellow evangelist with Paul, declares in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that we are to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. And we are to behave this way, not in response to the actions of others, but because, as verse 6 tells us, God poured out the Holy Spirit abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that by His grace we might be put right with God and come into possession of the eternal life we hope for. As we pray for our nation, may our own behavior always be that which honors the name of Christ, as we also recite the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. But what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love. As if every promise in your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea. And long as we had faith to believe. It's what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Such beautiful lyrics. Thank you so much, Andrew and Lenora, for sharing that gift of music ministry with us this morning. As we come to our time of communion, we certainly feel the loss of our usual traditions of passing the physical communion emblems. But in this loss, may we find some comfort in Scripture, which I will share with you here from the Apostle Paul. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May we turn to our community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin as we reflect on a scripture that we just shared. Show a gentle attitude toward everyone. The Lord is coming soon. Always asking Him with a thankful heart, and God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Jesus Christ. Our hymn of contemplation is number 560, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We'll sing all stanzas.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leading, leading, safe and secure from all alarms. Leading, leading, leading on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leading, leading, safe and secure from all alarms. Leading, leading, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to draw? dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leading, safe and secure from all alarms, leading on the everlasting arms.
In Acts chapter 12, Simon Peter is in prison. His execution is an ominous possibility once the Jewish festival is over. What are Christ followers to do? Pray. And in the end, Peter and his fellow believers are astonished at the power of prayer. Let us read verses 1 through 19. It's a lengthy text this morning in Acts chapter 12, but we do need to read the entire section in order to get the full story. About this time, King Herod began to persecute some members of the church. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he went ahead and had Peter arrested. This happened during the time of the festival of unleavened bread. After his arrest, Peter was put in jail, where he was handed over to be guarded by four groups of four soldiers each. Herod planned to put him on trial in public after Passover. And so Peter was kept in jail, but the people of the church were praying earnestly to God for him. The night before Herod was going to bring him out to the people, Peter was sleeping between two guards. He was tied with two chains, and there were guards on duty at the prison gate. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood there, and a light shone in the cell. The angel shook Peter by the shoulder, woke him up, and said, "Hurry, get up." And at once the chains fell off Peter's hands. And then the angel said, "Tighten your belt and put on your sandals." Peter did so, and the angel said, "Put on your cloak and come with me." Peter followed him out of the prison, not knowing, however, if what the angel was doing was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed by the first guard station, then the second, and came at last to the iron gate that opens into the city. The gate opened for them by itself, and they went out. They walked down a street, and suddenly the angel left Peter. Then Peter realized what had happened to him. He said, "Now I know that it is really true. The Lord sent his angel to rescue me from Herod's power and from everything the Jewish people expected to happen." Aware of his situation, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many people Peter's voice and was so happy to see him, or so happy that she ran back and announced that Peter was standing outside. They told her. "Well, it's his angel." Meanwhile, Peter kept knocking. At last, they opened the door, and when they saw him, they were amazed. Some texts say they were astonished. He motioned with his hand for them to be quiet, and he explained to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell this to James and the rest of the believers," he said, and then he left and went somewhere else. When morning came, there was a tremendous confusion among the guards. What had happened to Peter? Herod gave orders to search for him, but they could not find him. So he had the guards questioned and ordered them put to death. May we pray. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks for the many testimonies in Scripture of the power of prayer, and pray that we too may comprehend your desire to free us from all that troubles us. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. The king's name was Herod Agrippa. His paternal grandfather had been the notorious Herod the Great, who previously executed the male infants in and around Bethlehem in his futile attempt to squelch the threat of the prophecy that there would be a newborn king of the Jews to be born. Years had now passed, but the ominous cloud of the Herod family still hung over the land of Israel, as sons and now grandsons of Herod the Great still ruled over Palestine. The Jews still despised the treacherous rule of Herod's clan, but Herod Agrippa cultivated the favor of the Jews by keeping the law and supporting the Jewish festivals. It particularly pleased the Jews that Herod Agrippa had the Apostle James, one of the three of Jesus' inner circle of Peter, James, and John, put to death. James was thus the first of the apostles of Jesus to be martyred. He then had Peter arrested. Herod fully intended to have Peter tried before the Jewish people and anticipated Simon Peter's execution, believing this aggression against the Christians would further enhance his favor among the Jews. But since the Passover festival was at hand when Peter was arrested, his trial and impending execution would have to wait until the full week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread had concluded. But notice how seriously Herod Agrippa took his intent to use Simon Peter as a pawn in his scheme to gain further support from the Jews. Simon Peter's imprisonment was on par with that of a suspected violent murderer. Four squadrons of four guards each were assigned to guard Peter. Day and night was divided into four watches of 3 hours of duration, and each squad had a duty that lasted 3 hours. Typically, a prisoner was chained by his right hand to his guard's left hand, but Peter was chained by both hands, guarding him on each side, while the two remaining guards kept watch at the prison door. There was no tighter security than this ordered by Herod Agrippa for Simon Peter. For Herod saw Jesus' staunchest follower as the greatest pawn he could destroy in his quest for Jewish favoritism. There was nothing that the other followers of Christ could do for their beloved brother in Christ except pray. As verse 5 tells us, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And pray they did. Not for a half hour, not for a few hours, not for one day. This went on for the full duration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So a whole week. Here they had been praying for 6 days. And verse 6 then tells us that the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. When in verses 7 through 10, suddenly an angel of the Lord stood there, and a light shone in the cell. The angel shook Peter by the shoulder, woke him up, and said, hurry, get up. At once the chains fell from Peter's, it says hands, but it would have been his wrists. Notice that some versions of the scripture say that an angel actually struck Peter on the side and woke him up. It is noteworthy to realize that despite his dire circumstances, Simon Peter is apparently sleeping soundly. There seems to be a calmness about Peter that we would find quite remarkable. This is Peter's third time to be in prison, but this is the one time that he is all alone, no other followers with him. Yet Peter remembered Jesus' promise that he would live to be an old man and end his life crucified on a Roman cross. Jesus had made that prediction in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. But then in verses 8 through 10, the angel of the Lord gives Peter very pragmatic instructions, realizing Simon Peter is awakened into confusion and he can't do this escape all by himself. The text says, then the angel said, tighten up your belt, put on your sandals. Peter did so, and the angel said, put on your cloak and come with me. And Peter followed him out of the prison, not knowing, however, if what the angel was doing was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed by the first guard station, then the second, and came into the city. The gate opened for them by itself, and they went out and walked down the street. And suddenly, the angel left. Reading between the lines, we realize that even though he had experienced so many miraculous events at Jesus' side, Simon Peter is still absolutely astonished by the miraculous angelic intervention that is happening here on his behalf. This was not some successful escape executed by fellow Christians, only a miraculous event pulled off by the hand of God could free Simon Peter from the massive layers of human confinement exacted upon Peter. What I find remarkable about the story is, again, the text tells about how a great light shines forth. Now, don't you think that would have woken these guys up? No, don't you think? We got to believe this is a miracle from Lord God Almighty, that these guards, somehow they're kind of in some kind of sleep state themselves. And yet all these wondrous things happen to free the apostle. And the angel of the Lord, his work completed, what does he do? He vanishes. And Simon Peter is standing in the darkness of the city street, a distance from the prison now. But you have to also appreciate the fact that there is an anxiousness about Simon Peter. He does not want to be noticed, does he? You kind of read that between the lines. He doesn't want people, outside the realm of his circle to know that he's free.
For he soon does appear
in life as he is not and being recaptured. Simon Peter realizes this is not a vision. This is not a The disgusting smelly guards and the chafing metal bands around his wrist are gone. Peter declares to himself in verse 11, now I know that it is really true. The Lord sent his angel to rescue me from Herod's power and from everything the Jewish people expected to happen. Simon Peter then hurries to the safety of the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. This home in Jerusalem may likely have been the place where the Last Supper took place, and it has become the home base for Christian believers from throughout Jerusalem. But disbelief in the astonishing power of prayer prevails as the servant girl who comes to the knocking door, and the other believers simply can't initially believe that Simon Peter is freed from the clutches of the Herod family. But Simon Peter gives them instructions, does he not? Tells them what they need to do, and he goes and moves on about his way because he still realizes he's going to have to maintain some level of secrecy here. But Simon Peter and his followers, the followers of Christ, are rejoicing in the miraculous power of prayer, clearly evidenced by the angel of the Lord aiding in Peter's miraculous escape. But sadly, the terror of Herod's family still exacts frustration and revenge upon innocent people. For just as Herod the Great killed the infant male babies in Bethlehem and beyond, in this story, Herod Agrippa has his soldiers executed as punishment for the escape of Simon Peter. Verses 18 and 19, when morning came, there was a tremendous confusion among the guards. What happened to Peter? And Herod gave orders to search for him, but they could not find him. And so he had the guards questioned and ordered them put to death. What we must note here is that Herod Agrippa really didn't have the power to execute innocent guards. That authority actually belonged to the Roman authority above him. Herod, after all, was merely a Maccabean-born Jewish person, answerable to the Romans. But who among Herod's court would ever question his actions? In his rage and fury, Herod Agrippa cared little about protocol. He had the Jewish guards executed, for in the Roman world, a Roman guard suffered the punishment of his prisoner's sentence if his prisoner escaped. But here you and I are on the 17th day of January in this year of 2021, centuries removed from the story of Simon Peter's miraculous escape from the clutches and evil intent of Herod's clan. And we must ask, what does this story have to say to us? This story reminds us graphically of the power of prayer. Our nation is facing ominous threats of violence and possibly more death. During what is supposed to be a peaceful transfer of power this week, even as we are in mourning over the death and violence experienced on the 6th of January. What are believers to do? We ask ourselves that question, do we not? And so I put out on the sign, pray for our nation. And I lift up the text of 1 Timothy chapter 2. The sign mentions verses 1 through 6. Read through them, if you will, sometime today, but the verse I focus on is verse 2, that we are to pray for those in authority so that we may live a quiet and peaceful life with all reverence toward God and with proper conduct. Let's affirm the astonishing power of prayer while praying earnestly for our nation, truly believing that God can free us. God can free us from the shackles of our own distrust of our fellow citizens. God can free us from our own failure to have personal regard for our fellow citizens. God can free us from the shackles of our inhumane violence toward fellow citizens. As people of faith, we need to believe that peace and justice, healing and hope are always possible through God's ways, not ours. As Psalm 119, verse 18 reminds us, we need to open our eyes so that we may see the wonderful truths in God's teachings. And for those chosen to govern, we also remember that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32 tells us, do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. And as Job chapter 34, verse 4 declares, let us choose for ourselves what is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good. It will only be when we are once again a godly people. And you know, I really believe that's what our founders wanted us to be, a godly people. And so next week, I'm going to talk about some of our founders and the godly things they did as they formed the government that has guided this country for over two centuries. One thing we fail to remember, for example, is how so many of our founding fathers started, fostered, and maintained guidance in Bible societies. One Bible society after another, after another, after another. We're going to talk about that next week. Because we need to remember that heritage. But for today, let us understand, it will only be when we are godly people that we will see godly ways in our governance and find the peace that our founding fathers and our loving God always desired for this nation, which truly was founded under unique astoundingly unique princess. If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is the day to accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of patient number 558, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. We'll sing all stanzas, please. 558.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Thy flock from sin defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear thy children when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear thy children when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor. Early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our spirits fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the best as we journey through this new week and especially as we lift up our nation in prayer. May we bow our heads. Merciful God, your Spirit guides us this day and always, and for this we give thanks. May truly what we do and say bring honor and glory to your kingdom's work here on earth as we embark upon this new week. It's in Christ's name we give thanks for the privilege to worship you. Amen.
God, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give in adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and